Welcome to Living Bread, the broadcast from Bread of Heaven Church.
Feed your soul and set your spirit free.
We are located in the heart of Nashville, Tennessee at 2430 Jefferson Street. Our pastor is Elder Russell Perkin, an anointed teacher and preacher. The conference call you're about to enjoy happens twice a month on Monday evening at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Please be sure to mute your phone for the call and open your heart for a word from the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Russell Perkins. Welcome to our midweek Bible study. We're going to get ready to pray. We're going to talk about the blessing of the table, the blessing of the table. And if somebody wants to put it in the chat, you can. It's already on band. Put it on band a few minutes ago. I trust you're doing well. It's good to see your names and your numbers up. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come, Lord, lifting you up. We come, Lord, hallelujah, thinking about the holiness of your name. Thinking about where you brought us from. Glad about the joy that you stir up in our spirits. And Lord, we just come as we are. We're not here to camouflage, pretend, put flesh on display, or just beat around the bush. We're here by your grace. And Lord, we come in your glorious name. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, we, of course, always stand in awe of you. And Lord, we know, hallelujah, that there's none like you. That your name is to be glorified in the earth. And Lord, you have transformed us from a kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light. And Lord, we just don't have enough praise in our system to praise you for that. Lord, we come joyful. We come determined. We come in the boldness and the certainty that your word is sure and that your name, hallelujah, is awesome. Your name is holy, to be hallowed in this earth, and we come circumspectly. We're not coming in before you haphazard. We're not coming before you like you are, buddy. We come in, hallelujah, knowing that we are traversing holy ground. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you bless and that you sanctify, that you bless your word tonight, that you lift up your people, that you bring us around this electronic table together, Lord, by your power. And, Lord, help us to reason together and to magnify your name. Lord, whatever measure of gift you have given me, stir it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said a moment ago, the topic is the blessing of the table. And I'm gonna talk to you very briefly. I'm gonna give you a scripture. After they give you the scripture, I'm going to ask you at least one question. The answer is going to be obvious because the answer is in the scripture I'm going to read. but I'm looking for something in particular. You know how the teacher used to do you? You'd be giving answers to the question. It's right, but the teacher looking for something in particular. I might do y'all like that tonight. First 10 years of my life, we lived in projects. Then we moved down on Clifton Avenue, not far from Head School in Nashville. It was a modest home. We got a good deal on it to rent it for a man that I don't think he ever raised the rent because my dad had favor, had worked for him or something like that. I think the rent was $80 a month the whole time we lived there. And I lived there until me and Renita got in the car and got married and moved to Ohio. I lived there all through college. I have never spent a night in a dorm. I commuted from home. And if my car broke down, I walked from home to school. No shame in my game, I thank God. Hallelujah. But we had two main tables in the house. You know, we got coffee tables and tables to hold lamps, but two main tables. One was called the dining room table. We had like a little dining room in the center of the house. And in that dining room, we had a bookshelf. That's where the encyclopedias, that was my playground right there. And then in the kitchen, we had another table. It's not as nice. It was up against the wall. It had a little old wooden radio on it. And that's where maybe not the whole family, but, you know, like maybe at breakfast. And my dad's already gone to work. And it just, you know, me and maybe children went to school at different times. Anyway, it was usually a smaller group. My mother was always present at both tables. And it was a blessing for those tables. And in later years, after I was grown and after I was married, I would come back and I would meet my mom around that kitchen table. She had a little stool. She didn't sit in the regular chair. She sat on the stool in the kitchen. In the dining room, she sat in the dining room chair. And she would fix hot tea and sometimes homemade soup. And, it was a wonderful time. Hallelujah. Now, if you try to count up what it was about, how much did a tea bag cost? You know, how much did a potato cost if she was making potato soup? That wasn't the attraction of it. It was being in the family communal area, the place where they taught us how to pray over our food. They taught us to be respectful of each other. They taught us the importance of being glad that we had something to eat. And there was a lot of good things happened at those two tables. And when my mind goes back, for some reason, I usually think more about the kitchen table, which was more intimate, not the whole family, usually two children maybe, and mom, maybe me and my brother, or maybe me and my little sister and mom. And that was a glorious thing. There was a lot of good around that table. There was a lot of prayers around both tables. There was a lot of thank yous. And there was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of family formation. There was a lot of memories. And there was a lot of good old-fashioned laughter and joy. The blessing of the table. So our first scripture is going to be taken from 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. David is through being chased by Saul. And Saul and Jonathan were killed in battle by the Philistines in the last chapter of 1 Samuel. And we're in 2 Samuel now, 9th chapter. There was a little while where the kingdom was unsure. And there was a man named Ishbosheth that was kind of a rival. As it turned out, David won out. He consolidated his power. And things are mellowing out. He has authority over the kingdom. The enemies have been put at bay. They're not gone, but they're at bay. And so we get to 2 Samuel 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Remember, Jonathan was the son of Saul. Jonathan was one of the likely heirs to the throne, but they were gone. They were killed, the heirs. But Jonathan and David had a covenant, not just a friendship, but in, for example, 1 Samuel chapter 20, basically, they said, "If I die first, I'll make sure that your family lives." They said that to each other. "We're not going to kill off potential rivals that belong to your family or mine." And there was in verse 2, in the house of Saul, a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Remember, the topic is the blessing of the table. I'm going to ask you a question at the end of this. Somebody going to be right on it. I got it. I got that feeling, but maybe my feeling is wrong. And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodebar," which means a place of barrenness, a place of no communication. And of course, we have all been in a place of barrenness, in a place of no communication. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodebar. And now when David sent and fetched him, verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, sometimes when I'm talking about him, I'll call him Brother Bo to keep it short, but when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he said, "Answer." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not." Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. David had determined in his heart that he was going to honor the covenant. He had determined in his heart that he was not going to harm this man. Hallelujah. But you know how people play game. Try to make you know, he could have played him, you know, talk to him rough, try to get him, you know, all scared, or make him make him make a pledge of loyalty or something like that to him before he gave him any assurance about how he would treat him. But he led with kindness. Hallelujah. Let's try that sometimes, saints. Hallelujah. Then David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread where? At my table. Continue. The blessing of the table. Eat bread at my table continually. Hallelujah. What he's saying to you, not come to the table as long as I have a whim to have you there, as long as you please me. You don't have to earn this. You don't have to keep it up. I am promising you from the very jump. I don't really know you from Adam, but because of a covenant relationship, by reason of Jonathan, hallelujah, you can eat at my table, the king's table, continue. Oh, my Lord. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I? That's how Mephibosheth felt. He was insecure. He couldn't do anything. So before I read the rest of this passage, how did Mephibosheth get to the king's table? Talk to me, saints. All right, I'll go a little further. Go ahead.
He got there because of the love that Jonathan, that the king had for Jonathan. He had a very, very deep love. I mean, you know, I'm just saying very, very deep. Even though they were men, the Bible said the love was very deep. And because of that love that he had for Jonathan, it wasn't really about Mephibosheth. It was about the covenant that he had with Jonathan. And he wanted to keep it. So that's how he got to the king's table. He wanted to bless him for the rest of his life because of the love that he had for Jonathan.
Amen, that's true. But I told y'all I wanted something in particular, right? How did he get there?
The soldiers went and got him.
Physically, okay, servant went to get. What else? How did the man at the gate that was called Beautiful get there who was lame?
People had to bring him.
Somebody carried him.
Carried him there. Bring
somebody had to carry us. Not only was it grace, but somebody had to carry this man to the table.
Because he was lame.
To the king's table.
Yeah.
And God had to carry us to the cross. God had to carry us to salvation. God had to carry us from our place of no communication so that we could have fellowship with Jesus. Hallelujah. And he, verse 9, then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. I didn't take anything off the top. I didn't give myself like a little tithe. I gave all of it that pertained to Saul to the sole surviving heir that they could identify, who also happened to be Jonathan's son. I'm giving it all to them. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. He's talking to Ziba, the servant. Y'all gonna have to work the land, right? And thou shalt bring in the fruits that thou master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, despite all of that, despite that instruction, but Mephibosheth, I want him to be near to me so that I can make sure that I do what I said I was going to do, that I can adopt him into the king's family, hallelujah, by reason of the love I had and the love I have for Jonathan. Anybody know what it feels like to be adopted into the king's family? Oh my God. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. And in my case, came up in the housing projects, but that was good for us. Hallelujah. We didn't know it because we had friends who didn't live in the housing project. And they lived in those houses that, you know, a good wind might blow them over, you know. But God set, allowed it so that we were in places that would stand if there was a storm. They were brick-o-block. And thank God for that. Hallelujah. And we ate by God's grace. Me and my brother be outdoors playing football in the fall, ripping and running, tackling, hitting people and being tackled. Out of bounds was the sidewalk. It wasn't like they touch you to make you run out. They tried to slam you into the sidewalk or slam you into somebody's brick-o-block porch. It was rough out there. But then we hear Robert and Russell, a sweet voice called us in. And we said, okay, it's time to eat. And just when we right there by the porch, we could smell the food. Hallelujah. And we didn't realize we were hungry until we got there. Because what? We were ripping and running. Isn't it good to rip and run with Jesus? Sometimes you forget whatever it is that ails you, right? You just praise him. Just loving him. Just going through the second childhood. Becoming just like a little child in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Just trusting in him. Hallelujah. Enjoying the benefits of home, the benefits of being with Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then all of a sudden somebody said, not only that, you can come and eat. Hallelujah. And we didn't buy nothing. Me and my brother, me and my sisters, we didn't buy nothing. We didn't buy a pack of Kool-Aid, but we ate every day by God's grace. That's grace. Hallelujah. Grace and mercy brought Mephibosheth to the king's table. Hallelujah. And David said, sent people to go fetch him. Hallelujah. And carry him to the table. Hallelujah. Jesus came in the flesh to go fetch us, to get us off death row, because all had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we needed to be adopted, praise God. Hallelujah. To get a new name and a new walk and a new testimony, and to be cleaned up and to get that barrenness washed off our system and made fit but not fit, fit by grace but not by essence, to eat at the king's table. The blessing of the table. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he was telling Ziba to do it. Now Ziba had a crew. Ziba, that last sentence of verse 10, Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Verse 11, then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, and that name means shame scattered, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. When we do something for somebody, We want all the credit. Sometimes we want to make somebody feel bad about it. But David, even though he had his flaws, he had a tendency toward generosity. Hallelujah. Remember when they went to Ziklag, 30th chapter, 1 Samuel? The camp was burned down. All the women, everybody was gone without a trace. And they prayed and they talked about stoning David. They cried till they couldn't cry no more. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Hallelujah. He asked the Lord, shall I go? The Lord said, yeah, you shall recover all. Hallelujah. And on his way, there was a little Egyptian man who had been with the marauders and they had abandoned him for whatever reason. Hallelujah. And by all rights, under the way that they lived back then, David could have killed him, had his men kill him, and nobody would have said a word or wouldn't have been done. The man was powerless. Hallelujah. But David was kind toward him, and the man told him where they were. Hallelujah. Kindness. Real kindness. Not playing nice. Kindness and niceness are two different things. Nice is good, but kindness comes from the heart. Hallelujah. And you can fake nice, but kindness, you can't fake that. And because of his generosity, he even gave him some food, if I remember it correctly. They went and recovered all. You don't ever know what God's going to do, how God's going to use something that seems small. Hallelujah. If you walk, hallelujah, according to the principles of the Lord, that means God will be in it. And he will bless you. And grace and mercy will bring you to the king's table. Hallelujah. And you'll be looking around, how did I get here? And Mephibosheth was thinking, I can't even walk. How I get here? Lame on both feet. Hallelujah. In a place of no communication, scared, had no defense against the potential wrath of the king, and all of a sudden, all this mercy and grace because of a promise I ain't know nothing about. Because somebody dropped me, a nurse dropped Mephibosheth when they got the news that Jonathan and Saul had been killed. And for that reason, he was lame on his feet. And we all been dropped, and we have all dropped people. Hallelujah. But yet the blessing of the table is still there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mm-mm-mm. As one of the king's sons. Verse 12. And Mephibosheth had, and Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. The Lord can give orders to angels. The Lord can give orders to people to tend to you when you are at a place where you can't help yourself. Hallelujah. That grace and mercy will come search you out. Hallelujah. If you will just trust. Hallelujah. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both of his feet. Hallelujah. All right, that's our first scripture. Our second scripture is coming up from Psalm 78. Psalm 78 is attributed to Asaph. It says, Maskil is M-A-S-K-I-L of Asaph. Maskil, it refers to wisdom. It refers to almost like a proverb. And here we have a beautiful description of the children of Israel, hallelujah, in the wilderness, tucked away in one of the Old Testament songbooks of Psalms. In verse 17, and I'm skipping, and they sin yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness, complaining. Where the meat at? We could have go back to Egypt. We about to starve out here. They forgot about all the plagues. They forgot about the Passover. They forgot about, apparently, about the Red Sea. All unprecedented. Miracles that had never happened, particularly the Passover and the Red Sea. Nothing like that had ever happened. And they act like they had selective amnesia because they wanted whatever they thought they were missing from Egypt. And aren't we like that? Don't let us run into, well, I don't know. It depends on how old you are. But don't let us run into the old girlfriend or old boyfriend or an old flame or old crush or whatever you want to say. We get all messed up as if God didn't bring us anything, that he didn't bring us through some Red Sea of trouble. He didn't stand by us, praise God, when we were going through the death of a family member or the trouble in our lives or financial uncertainties or whatever. And praise God. Provoking the Most High. See, we don't think about that. We just think, God knows my heart, and he does, and he knows it's desperately wicked. But we provoke God with usually our mouths and our behavior, our disobedience and our rebellion. How dare he let us die out here in this desert? We could have been eating those leeks or whatever they wanted in Egypt. We out here in the desert. But you say, well, that's human nature. It is, but it provokes God. I want to provoke God. And I'm saying that out of reverence. I'm saying out of godly fear. But I'm saying it because I love God, right? Not just that I'm scared of what he can do to my body and my soul. I know that. But I love God. I don't want to provoke him. If you love people, you don't want to provoke them. Provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart back. Asking meat for their lust. I'm not going to go through the whole story, which is recounted here and in other scriptures, but I'm going to get the point. We may be taking a break soon, but I'm a little scared to take a break because I'm just not in the mood for the crickets things tonight. Verse 19. Here's the key verse I was trying to get to. Yeah, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? I hear the echoes of another question. Am I my brother's keeper? Same spirit, same nasty attitude. Hallelujah. And when Cain asked that question of God, you know what? It was an accusation. It was, why didn't you keep him? Why didn't you keep Abel, God? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Whenever you see the question start with, can God? And I think Elder Jackson said this so well recently. Yes, but he can't lie. But if it's can God, you almost always know the question is yes. He can't go against his word. He can't lie. Praise God. But can God furnish a table? Yes, he can. And the wilderness is desert. Yes. Can he bring water out of a rock? Yes, he did it two times. Can he take poisonous water and make it sweet? Yes, he did that shortly after they crossed the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Can he go up in the mountain and get the commandments of God? Praise God. And his face shine with the glory of God. Yes, God can do that. Hallelujah. Behold, he smote the rock, verse 20, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob. Hallelujah. That means Israel. And anger also came against Israel because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. I know God was thinking, what I got to do for these people? You know? What else do I have to do to show them I am God and beside me there's no other? Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat, and had given them the corn of heaven. Hallelujah. Man did eat angels' food. He sent the meat to the full. He sent them healthy stuff. He sent them nourishing stuff. He sent them sustaining stuff. And it just wasn't enough. What happens, brothers and sisters? What happens, saints of the Most High God, when God's manna is not enough? When God's word is not enough? We got itching ears. We got conspiracy theory. We got stuff on the internet. That we love that because it tickles our ears more. But we got everything we need, hallelujah, and God's word will sustain us. God's word will stand. His word will not fail, hallelujah. I don't want to provoke God, hallelujah. I'm sure I have, hallelujah, over the course of my life. I was counting up my days the other day. I have lived, by God's grace, 24,000 and about 84 or 85 days by God's grace. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I ask myself the question, and I ask you, saints, the question, how many day of those days, however many you have lived, have been surrendered days? Days when you denied yourself, you took up your cross, and you followed him. And how many days have been provoking days when you spoke not in faith, but you spoke circumstance? You gave Goliath more props than the God over Goliath. So there is the blessing of the table, and at the table, as I alluded to, when I was talking about my own little family, there's community and fellowship at the table. Jesus would sometimes be invited to somebody's house, sometimes somebody who meant him no good, but there was an opportunity, if they would get their minds right, for community and fellowship with Jesus. There's an opportunity for repentance and humility at the table, self-examination. There's an opportunity for covenant and remembrance as exemplified in the Lord's Supper. There's an opportunity for worship and thanksgiving at the table. That's where I found out, hallelujah, that I had a God I can pray to by saying the whatever the little prayer we used to pray over our food at night. And in my infantile wisdom, I began to understand that there was a God somewhere. And then God's presence and provision. We lived in the housing projects. We ate every day. We lived in the housing projects. I had vegetables every day. We lived in the housing project. I can't remember many times when we didn't have milk and eggs in the house. Praise God. We lived in the housing projects, a place where somebody might have looked at as a place of no communication. But somehow, by God's grace, I got carried to the king's table. All right. The blessing of the table. Questions, comments, the floor is. I'm going to brave it. I'm going to brave it. If y'all do the cricket thing, I'll Pastor be all right. Yes, sir.
Just a beautiful, relevant, relatable Bible class. I sure appreciate everything from beginning to end. Everything is just so relatable and applicable to us in some way. And forgive me if my quietness is interpreted as crickets, but it's thought.
Okay.
It's thought. It's the thought, you know. And the best teaching is the teaching, a lot of times it has everybody thinking and then in thought about what has been said, just digesting it. And you know, I tried to unmute earlier because if I don't get a thought out, I'll forget it. You know, it comes into the
Amen. You know,
the going back to Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, who almost was in film abandoned, you know, just by himself and a lonely place. You know, we've all been in that lonely place where we felt separated, isolated. Like nobody cares. Nobody's thinking about us. Woe is me. But then all of a sudden, here comes somebody, you know. And that somebody for me was Jesus. You know, it was the Lord. And you brought that out so well. And I thought about in the New Testament directly, second chapter of Mark. Where the four men, the four friends, had a fifth friend who was paralyzed and on a bed, on a mat. He's just on a pallet. And they knew they had faith enough to know if we can just get our friend to Jesus, he'll heal him. And but there was a press, the Bible says, a crowd all in the way. It was keeping them from getting this. It could have discouraged them and they didn't make the effort to get to Jesus, which so many of us will allow people and friends to keep us from going all the way, getting all the way to Jesus to get the help that we need. And when we got to save ourselves today, he said, we got to save ourselves. You can't let people keep you from going all the way with Jesus, but they tore a hole. First of all, the effort, you know, and just like going all the way to Lodabar, going all the way to this distant place to find him. Somebody knew where he was and had to go find him and then bring him back. And we've dealt with people disabled or family that's sick, and it's difficult just getting them out of the house to the car. You know, just getting them out of the house. And just get them to the car and then getting them to where they need to go, a doctor's appointment. But, you know, all the effort that was made to go get Mephibosheth, to go get this friend on a paralyzed, took him up to the top of the house, tore a hole in the roof, lowered him down in the midst of all the people. Here he comes right in front of Jesus, just lowering him down. However that, but But anyway, it reminded me of that type of effort and that type of faith and that kindness. You know, it was people. See, I wouldn't have been here without somebody coming to me, talking to me. That's the right time. Came to me different times, and I listened, but I wouldn't want to hear it. You know, I wasn't ready to get my life. You know, too much other stuff that's fun out there in the world, and too much sin I was enjoying until it became until the sin, the devil captured me and had me ended up bound to the thing that was pleasurable. He turned it into bondage. But they got him to Jesus. They got him to David. He was blessed. There was a table there with all he, beyond what he could imagine, the blessings. And there's a table waiting for us. But the Bible talks about that table in heaven, you know, that marriage supper. We can get to heaven, you know, at marriage celebration, at supper, which is in heaven, and that table that's there. But anyway, just so much thought-provoking things that you've seen. Thank you so much. Now, I got crickets out here around me. I'm on Courtney's deck, and I'm hearing the crickets. I'm hearing the birds. I'm out here in nature. Every now and then, there's friendly lizard will run across the but anyway, thank you so much for all the thoughts, and that's what I appreciate. I appreciate something that's anointed and it provokes the thought, you know. So thank you so much. You know, I wasn't really. I was just gonna sit back in the cut, and I couldn't do it. So, thank you for everything. God bless you.
Thank you, Elder. I sure do appreciate that. Anybody else? Questions or comments? Brief testimonies.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Sister Brasher.
I want to also thank God, because I guess we're on one accord. When my husband said that, I was thinking about how thought-provoking, you know, the message is tonight. And, you know, you think about what came to my mind is, you know, we're not an island to ourselves. And, I just thank God for putting someone in my path to fill the void and the emptiness. And thank God for, you know, times when, you know, before I was in church, and, you know, when people would talk about the Lord and everything. Well, I was brought up in the church, but, you know, I wasn't really in the church, you know, so to speak. But I just thank God for how he puts people in our path, because, you know, we need help. I thank Amen. God for how he, even with, you know, the saints, you know, at the church, even now, you know, with the situation I'm going through, you know, with my mother, you know, God always puts somebody in your path. And sometimes you don't even realize it at the time, but God is always, he's always there for us. And I'm just so thankful of the knowledge of knowing who he is, and not just thinking, well, just so happened I saw a lady and she said this, and, you know, things that don't just so happen, because, you know, God orders our steps and he puts people in our lives. So I just thank God, you know, for each and every one of you. And I just thank God for this wonderful lesson, Elder Perkins. Like Keith was saying, sometimes, you know, you hear crickets, and quite often you hear crickets. But I know in my case, and I'm sure with a lot of the saints, it's not that you're not observing that word, because you definitely put it out there, and you put it out there strongly. You put your heart and soul into it. And my daughter was sitting down here listening to it, and she said, "Is he at work?" I said, "Well, I think he is." I said, "I think I see his robe over there in the corner." But I just want to thank God for all the effort that you put into these lessons. And please don't think that it's going unheard, because, you know, it's helping us. And it's all, your words are always timely, you know, for no matter what you're going through. You could be going through something from one end of spectrum to the other, but your word, you know, just hearing your voice and hearing your words is such a blessing. And I appreciate you, Elder Perkins, and thank you for the wonderful lesson.
Thank you, Sister Brasher.
Right.
You're very much appreciated.
This is Sister Carol. Can you hear me?
I certainly can.
And you can see me tonight, too.
I can see you.
I just wanted to say everything what Minister Brasher and everything what Karen said, I'm not going to repeat it, but I agree with everything that they said. And I love the word tonight, too. I love the story about Jonathan and David and everything and how he went to get Mephibosheth, because, you know, it's just a mighty love story and everything. And Jesus said, we have love one for another, like the love that they had. He said, then all men would know that you are my disciples. And when you do something for a person, and then they come back and remember what you did and just said, thank you. Or either, you know, maybe it's a year later, they come back. It's always a good feeling when people come back to you and let you know that you made a difference in their life and everything and how you changed their life. And I just love this story. And also too, I have a testimony. I was at work yesterday and I had a television, whatever the thing is, you know, a call like at 7 p.m. And it was from my doctor's office and everything. We had it scheduled in advance. So with this thing, heart disease, I'm supposed to have cardiomyopathy, whatever they call it, something about 8 weeks ago, they did a genetic test, you know, because they said usually it runs in the family, you know, somebody in your family had it. So when they did the call, guess what? First the lady, when she talked to me, she went through my family history for about 15 minutes asking me, you know, who had this and who had that and everything. I said, oh, no, that means I got it, because she would just came out by now and said, I don't have it after about 20 minutes. Then she said, I don't have the gene out of... And they had a big gene pool and everything. And she told me, she said, if you do have the people who do have the gene, this disease is worse in the people that do have the gene. But she said, but you don't have the gene. So she said, now the doctors just got to figure out why, you know, you're getting that thickening in your heart. But she said also too, she said, you know, it could be, you know, that you're getting older and everything, but the doctors have figured that out. But I was just rejoicing because I had prayed. And I said, Lord, when I get this test back, please let it be negative. And don't you feel good when you pray and God answers your prayers the way you want to? It just builds up your faith and everything, you know what I'm just saying? And it helps you to just to go another level in Jesus, you know, when he answers your prayers the way you ask him to. And I'm just rejoicing. I don't have that gene.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
I will praise him.
Hallelujah. That's awesome.
I mean, feeling better, you know, when she just, but when she said that, you even start feeling, you know what, see, that your health improves when you get that, when you get that positive report.
Thank you, Jesus.
Your health improves.
Amen.
Can you hear me, Pastor?
I can hear you, First Lady.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I couldn't hear nobody else's voice. I would hear yours, you know that.
Oh, you're doing such a great job, and I just love this story. And just today, I guess I'm a little bit teary-eyed about different things that are going on, people sick, and how God it just puts people in your life, like Sister Brasher was saying, that just help you to maneuver life, because life, it has its ups and downs, and you know, you have loss, and you have wins. And I just praise God for the people that he puts in our lives to help us to get through and maneuver and to have those wins. Truly, it's just, he's just such a blessing. There's so many things in my life that God has just been there. And I was just thinking as far ago as even to the seventh grade when I was trying to play basketball and and my coach saw, you know, a good player in me, but I could not see for nothing. I was almost nearly probably legally blind. And it was just, and she was a white lady, older. She took me to the doctor. I mean, this little, you know, seventh grade little black child. I think, no, was I in the seventh grade? Let's see, ninth grade. And he said, I'm gonna get you some contact lenses. And I said, what? She said, yeah, I'm gonna take you, if your mama lets me, I'm gonna take you to the doctor and get you some contact. Nobody, and you know, back then, black people especially, you didn't buy a contact lens, they cost 300. I remember they cost $325, and that was so much money for back then. And she just did that for me. And so I remember the first time I looked at myself, I was in ninth grade, because all other times I couldn't really see yourself when you put your glasses on, and that's who you saw. But I take my glasses off, I couldn't see myself because I couldn't see. Put those contact lenses on, and I said, oh my God, that's what I look like. So I mean, just little small things like that, that God allowed to be put in our life for people. And then the friends that you meet throughout your time, you know, of this journey that we go through, and you bless them and they bless you. It's just been such a beautiful journey. And I just praise God for that story, because that's what he did. He loved Jonathan so much that he said, let me go find somebody in his family to bless. That just is, to me, that's so beautiful. And it just lets us know that that's what God would have us to do, to just find somebody to bless them or to love somebody so much in your life that you want, when that person's gone, you want to continue that person's legacy, because that's what that did for Melchizedek. That made Jonathan's legacy live on because of his life, because of the good life that he lived. He was, I can't never say his name, but
Brother Bo, Brother Bo.
Brother Bo was able to have a good life. And so I just praise God for the message, Pastor. And I appreciate you, and I miss you. And you all continue to pray for us that we be what the Lord is calling us to be in these last and evil days.
First lady is traveling, so that's why she says she missed. I miss you too. All right, anybody else?
You did a good job, Pastor.
Thank you, Elder. The blessing of the table. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. Covenant. David's relationship with Jonathan was a covenant relationship. And that's why some of our friendships and brotherhoods and sisterhood relationships don't bear godly fruit in a lasting way. There's no covenant. It's all conditional on this and that and all that, but there's no commitment. But God knows how to work things out. And when you least expect it, when you're in a time, a place where you don't want to be, there's a promise out there for you. There's a promise for your situation. There's a truth that God has spoken and he can't take back for your situation. And there will be time when you feel, you hear me? I said feel fatherless. Mephibosheth, I'm about to mess his name up too, was fatherless and grandfatherless. He was without family. But there's hope for the fatherless. There's hope for when you don't feel the covering and protection of your father. Even though your father might be alive, your father might be around, but somehow you're not getting what you need from your earthly father. But when father and mother forsake you, when father and mother go on to be with the Lord, when father and mother just don't get, hallelujah, this thing we talk about of walking in holiness or whatever, Don't stop loving them. You can't help it. You're going to love them, love them, love them. But when that need is not being met, it feels like it's not being met. What did I tell y'all recently, about 10 days ago? In Jesus, we have
all that we need.
Everything
that we need.
We need. And if you need some fathering, and you'd be surprised what we need. When Jesus was on the cross, he presented his mother to John. And he said, you know, behold your son. In other words, John was going to be an adopted godson to Jesus's mother. And he also said to John, behold your mother. Now, John and his brother James were the sons of Zebedee. They were the sons of thunder. But yet, John needed some more mothering. And Jesus provided him everything he needed. And the blessing of the tables. Grace and mercy bring us to the table. And sometimes we have to be carried. And there's no shame in that. As long as we get to the table. As long as we get to the roof of the house where Jesus is. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just have to be carried. Those of you who are connected or have been connected with Greater Christ Temple, y'all know that, y'all probably know that David Bennett is very ill. Pat Bennett's husband. I went to high school with him. Renita called me yesterday in tears because she's good friends with his wife, Pat Bennett. And I went to see him today. Now, naturally speaking, you would look at my schedule and look at my obligations and say, you didn't have time to go see him. Well, I made time. Remember those four friends that Elder Brasher talked about at the beginning of the book of the second chapter of Mark? They found a way. There was no way in that house through the door. They took a flimsy pallet. Four men and coordinated each other, decided to have ministry at a higher level and took him up on the house and they lowered him down through the open. They pulled some tiles or whatever the roof was made out of and lowered him down to Jesus. So when I went to see my friend today, it was painful. He's 666. And I held his hand and I talked to him. I called him Mr. Pearl High. That's the nickname I had for him because we went to Pearl High. And then I prayed with him. And I left and he was trying to talk to me, but he couldn't. So David Bennett, pray for him. Elder Matheny, does these podcasts on Facebook. He's very ill. And he was trying to remember my name on the podcast. I listened to it in the middle of the night. I know y'all know something's wrong with me, but in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I listened to it. And it was a few hours old at that time. And he was talking to his daughter. He said, oh, my dear friend, I can't think of his name. Yeah, I had no clue he was talking about me, you know, although we are dear friends. And then he said, yeah, Russell T. Perkins, Judge Russell T. Perkins, my friend. And he said something nice. And but he's very ill. He's very weak. We are praying for him. He's all he does is praise God from hospital bed. From hospital bed. And I thank the Lord. And so I always say, I know y'all tired. When I say something several times, it really works y'all nerves. But, you know, I can't worry about that. I do best I can. But we can walk and chew gum. After I listened to that in the middle of the night, around 3 o'clock, and I sent a text to him and his daughter, 3 o'clock, whatever, in the morning. Because I wanted to say, I just listened to it, and I was blessed and moved by your podcast. And I don't know, you know, I didn't expect them to open it at that time. But I know it was a little weird, but I went on and did it right then. So I wouldn't forget, get busy and forget. And then I went to sleep for about 30 minutes and woke up with a series of questions. I'm gonna close it out with this. I had notes on a whole different lesson. I wasn't gonna say anything about a table today. And I was thinking about how in my work as a judge, this is in the middle of the night, 3:30, 4 to 4 in the morning, should be sleep. I had gone to sleep early last night, so I'm not sleep deprived. And it says, I was thinking, when I have matters that come before me that are complicated, and the lawyers are throwing this theory and that theory and that stuff at me, I always check myself, y'all. And I say, what's on my desk? What is this motion that is before me really about? Because they are talking about seven different things and only three or four of them are before me. So what's on my desk? Then I thought about what's on the table. Just under the unction of the Lord, I'm not even hardly able to have good thought. I'm drowsy. And then I thought about, what are you bringing to the table? And then I thought about, how did Mephibosheth get to the king's table? And the answer is, of course there's grace, of course there's mercy, of course there's covenant, but somebody carried him. Praise God. And I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. I praise the Lord. I lift him up, and he is mighty. So let's pray. God bless all of you. I love all of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus.
Oh, yes, Lord.
We come, hallelujah, before you, believing and trusting.
Yes, Lord. And
Lord, we ask, Lord, your blessing, Lord, over those who are not well in their bodies, who have ailments, have problems, who doctors have given a bad prognosis. Oh, Lord. And Lord, we put them on the altar because we know what we put on the altar, what we give to the altar, Lord, you sanctify. And Lord, we are invoking the jurisdiction of heaven, hallelujah, because we can't heal these people, but you can. You know all about it. We're not telling you something you don't know, but we want to make sure, Lord, that we are not holding on to it in our emotions and not giving it to you as well. We give it to you. Lord, you got the last say about life, death, and everything. So, David Bennett, Edward Matheny, hallelujah. Sister Mother Subtle, Sister Brash's mother. Others who have been sick. I understand Elder Suffragan Bishop Burns has been sick in Louisville. You ask that you touch him in his body. He's 94 going on 95 years old. Bless him, Lord.
Yes, Father.
others, Lord, among us. Sister Carol, hallelujah, touch her. Sister Cartwright, we ask your blessing. Others who are not feeling 100%, Lord, whatever it might be an ailment that is causing some discomfort, might be interrupting sleep, might be almost at the point of causing some worry. But Lord, we cast all of these cares on you. Lord, we're not designed to carry this stuff. Lord, that was blood shed on Calvary's tree, hallelujah, by your stripes, by the stripes of the blood of Jesus, we are healed. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come, Lord, in confidence and boldness, knowing, hallelujah, we're putting this stuff in the right place, hallelujah. Don't let us worry, Lord, hallelujah. Lord, we're supposed to be tenderhearted and compassionate, hallelujah, and concerned and loving, Lord. But Lord, don't let that bleed into some prolonged worry, Lord. Hallelujah. Let us, hallelujah, Lord, be bold in you. Help us, Lord, hallelujah, to be loving in you. Show us, Lord, how to navigate this journey, this pilgrim journey that we own in such a way that people will see us and we'll be living epistles learned and read of men, and they will see, oh, this thing must be real. There must be something to this, hallelujah, by virtue of the walk that we have, Lord, in the presence of your people. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Bless Brother Heaven, Lord, help us to reach more people. Help us to get past some things, Lord, hallelujah. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, to learn how to minister to these young people, college people. We're right in camp. We're walking distance of 3 campuses, Lord. Hallelujah. Help us to reach it. We got one of our very own brothers has a daughter who's entering Belmont. Brother Sam Long's daughter is entering Belmont. Lord, help us to reach her and others. Her friends and the other, you know, just open some doors, Lord. Hallelujah. Open a door of ministry, Lord. Hallelujah. That you may be glorified. We would like, hallelujah, for the church to grow, but we first, our primary concern is just to reach souls, Lord. And Lord, hallelujah, if we reach souls, then the church will grow. And help us to have that heart, Lord, to reach others for your glorious name. And Lord, and to help be vessels of honor to be used, Lord, as you see fit to bring sons and daughters to glory, the glory of your precious table of fellowship, of salvation, of knowing who you are, of being new in you, of being cleaned up and freed up according to your grace. Help us, Lord. And thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Good night, everybody. We love you.
Amen.
Good night.
Everybody have a blessed night. Love you with the love of Christ.
Good night. Good night. Love you all.
I put some notes on Ben about what the lesson was tonight.
All right.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless everybody. Have a blessed night in Jesus' name. Hey, Renetta.
Living Bread.
Thank you for listening to Living Bread.
Living Bread.
Please spread the word about today's broadcast.
Living Bread.
The call-in number is 615-270-1514. Bread of Heaven Church is an outpost for the glory of God. Sunday morning worship is at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock. We invite you to come worship with us, 2430 Jefferson Street, Nashville, Tennessee. You will be blessed.